Hello, and welcome everyone to Stand By Me's podcast series. Stand By Me is a partnership between the United Way of Delaware and the State of Delaware that offers free one-on-one support to Delawareans who want to understand more about their money, make good financial decisions, and achieve their financial goals. Today we're joined by Maria Luna Medina to talk about the partnership between ServiceSource and Stand By Me and how that partnership benefits Delaware's disability community. On this episode, we continue our two-part series on the history of the Stand By Me program. Part one of the series featured former Governor Jack Markell and Michelle Taylor, President and CEO of the United Way of Delaware. On this episode, we'll hear from others who were instrumental in the formation and early years of the Stand By Me program, including program founder Mary DuPont, Paul Calistro and Jude Laskevich from West End Neighborhood House, and Izzy Mead and Sharika, or Shay, Frisbee, who were two early members of the Stand By Me team. To begin with, let's talk about the program's formation. What was the situation 10 years ago, and what was the need that you all saw that led to Stand By Me being created? Paul?
Stand By Me started in West End Neighborhood House around a round table with a number of our staff, trying to think about how could we work differently to help people gain wealth, manage money without being case managed, but by being coached. And so, you know, it was kind of birthed, for a lack of a better word, at West End. And we are glad that it morphed into something much larger, much bigger than anything we thought when we first sat around the table.
Shay?
At that time, financial coaching wasn't really well known. It wasn't something that was a topic of conversation at the dinner table, so to speak. And it wasn't something that you could see happening in communities or within a school system at that time. So it really was new. It was a new concept. You know, I will always believe that the secret sauce is the mind behind the movement. It was always the mind behind the movement, because you always have to have someone that actually somehow came up with this concept, and that was Mary DuPont. She was the mind behind the movement. And so, yes, you know, she was the one that actually conceptualized all of this and how it could kind of start to weave together and take shape.
Mary, what was it that had you begin this journey?
What I saw was that there were a lot of programs around the country that worked on financial capability, financial stability, helping people up the ladder. But the problem is that financial injustice, economic injustice, and financial instability is so monumental. As far as I'm concerned, it's the foundation of everything. Because when you have those disparities, people have a lot of other issues that arise from that. And if we could begin to address that in a holistic way, on a massive scale, not just on the community scale, but on the county scale, on the statewide scale, on the national level, we're going to see things really improving in this country.
But then you have the partners that without them, it wouldn't have been possible, because you still needed to have two great, phenomenal partners like the United Way and the State of Delaware to come together and say, okay, we're going to take this concept and we're going to take it to the next level and we're going to make sure it happens.
You know, the partners that we worked with, I mean, on so many levels. You know, they were there was the nonprofit sector, there was the state sector, there was the business community, there was the education community. I mean, nobody was left. We were all together, and everybody, this was my dream, that everybody would embrace the need for financial equity, and everybody would embrace a goal of financial security for every single person they work with, they serve, or they come in contact with, that everyone deserves that.
The program received early support from the community. Talk a bit about the community support, why it was helpful, and what that said about the concept behind the program. Let's hear from Izzy first.
When I started with Mary, I was actually able to see how the whole program came together. And I think it's difficult to look at it now and say, oh my gosh, how did this get built? But I actually got to see it being built piece by piece, idea by idea, person by person. And there were different ideas that were thrown around.
The program had that positive energy in general, where wherever we were, there seemed to be so much positive, good stuff, creativity, new ideas, new ways of using this to have a better and a deeper impact.
And Mary knew this. That's why she wanted to do it this way, that when you have not only the state behind you, but she had Governor Markell behind her. And that lends so much credibility when you are starting something brand new.
So the key to the growth and the key to the dynamic adjusting, adapting of the program is really based on two things. I think one is listening to what people need and the changing needs, and partnerships, because each partner adds a different thought, a different idea, and a different solution.
Being able to see so many different people from so many different parts of our community who really rose to the occasion to make life better for others. You know, it wasn't about building a building. It wasn't about some very specific accomplishment. It was really a one-on-one relationship with people. And in the end, if you can create stronger individuals, you're going to have a better community. And so I think in the end, that's why so many people wanted to be a part of Stand By Me.
Jude, when did you all know this program would be an enduring success?
I think we knew that it was going to stick around within that first 6 months. Once we had a few customers on board and we started to expand to other partners and other nonprofits, we started to see that it wasn't just a one-time thing. It wasn't just a flash in the pan, but really something that no matter what group we went to work with, no matter what population, no matter what employer, what location in the state, people were really into it, and it just kept growing and growing, and it was just like a snowball.
At the center of the program is the coaching model, connecting each individual with a personal coach in a confidential and ongoing conversation. Why is that important, and what does it provide?
The co-active coaching model was the heartbeat of the program because it's all about empowering people. And you can look around the state, you can look around the country, you can look around the world. There's all kinds of financial literacy programs, ways of helping people understand what they need to understand. I mean, we all have bookshelves filled with how do I retire? How do I do this? How do I do that? But what's the real block for people to actually get that information and then implement it? And the coaching model was about not telling somebody what to do. It was simply having a conversation that allowed them to think about what could they do, and then working with them as they did it.
It's not about telling. This isn't like, oh, you have this problem. Well, here are some things that you should do. It's not that. And as we all know, anytime you, as soon as the conversation with, no matter who it is you're talking to, starts to take, go in that direction of, well, you should, or maybe you'd like to, or you should consider, it's all about asking, what is it that you want to do? And what's most important? Where do you think we could begin? Now. And so it's about asking, and the essence of coaching. So I have a little plaque that says this, is that every person is creative, resourceful, and whole. And so when you're approaching someone, they're coming to you with a challenge, a problem, a goal, whatever it is. Usually they come when they have problems, right? Yeah. But we're not saying, what's your problem? We're saying, what is your vision? What is your goal?
The opportunity to have somebody listen to you that is non-judgmental, they're not going to put you down. They're not going to make you feel stupid. They're listening to you. And then they've got they've got lots of tools, just like a carpenter has tools, and they're going to share those tools, the tools that you can use to create a better life for yourself.
I think the secret to Stand By Me is that we really do meet people where they are. They come to us from a variety of referral sources, situations, backgrounds, and needs. And the fact that someone can come in, sit down with a coach, and just say, here's where I am right now, and this is where I'd like to go, it's a very low bar for people to come in and just start talking. And once they gain that trust and that relationship, the sky's the limit to where they can go.
This was part of the coaching methodology. We taught this in coaching, that the person you're sitting with is creative. They have ideas, and they're going to think out of the box. Maybe things that you, certainly things you've never considered yourself, because each person has their own source of creativity. They're resourceful. They know. They've been places. They know people. They know where there are resources out there. They can go out there. They can find it. They can bring it to the table. And they're whole. They're not broken. We're not trying to fix someone who's broken. We're working with someone who's a whole person. They have everything that they need to be able to make changes in their life.
So they start doing it and they have success. And honestly, there's nothing like that sense of accomplishment that you did something that you couldn't do on your own. Yes. And so once they have that, that trust just continues to grow. And then the world opens to more things they are willing to tackle, because now they have the confidence in that person to help them.
So we kind of saw the coaching relationship between the coach and the client as the seed of the entire program. It was the coach and the client. It was between us and our nonprofit partners. It was between the nonprofit partners and us and the community partners, the businesses, the educational institutions, the hospitals. It was between all of us and state government. It was having that respect. The coach didn't do it. They did it. Everybody wants to be self-sufficient, independent, creative, resourceful, and whole. We all want that.
It would seem that a program like this requires having a cohesive and inspired team. How did that develop, and what is the culture that was created within the team?
We would have monthly meeting with all the partners and all the coaches, and it was like, to me, like my family. There'd be 50 people in the room, and it would be like pure love. Everybody was empowered. The goal was empowerment, but it wasn't just, you can't empower a client if the coach isn't empowered, if the partner isn't empowered, if as a collective, we're not empowered. And what does empowerment mean? It means that we have ideas and strategies and vision and passion, and you're asked to bring all of that to the table and use it.
Yeah.
We're not telling you what to do. I never told anybody what to do. I tried to work with everybody as their coach to bring up all of the skills and abilities and ideas and passion that they brought to the table.
We had a very close-knit family of coaches that believed in this program, that believed in the integrity of the program, and that wanted to see families and their clients successfully meet their goals.
This program has consistently tried to find the most passionate, the brightest, the most qualified people to be coaches. And also thought about, how do we bring agencies and government and the banking community together to do it in a comprehensive way.
I wanted there to be a credential. That you didn't just, you know, like we didn't just give you a book to read. You took a training and now you're qualified. You are a certified financial coach.
The thing that makes coaching so impactful is the coaches themselves and the fact that we have really made it a point to hire people that will succeed as coaches. Because it's not just about giving people information. It's not just about teaching them how to read a credit report. In fact, one of the things that we say when we're interviewing and hiring coaches is that we can teach you the financial stuff. We can teach you how to show someone to budget. But what we can't teach you is empathy and how to care about the people you're working with. So we care way more about how they interact with people and how they feel about working with the community than we do about their financial background. Of course, we train everyone and we have a very thorough training process, but that is secondary to actually caring about the people that you're working with.
So we hired the coaches, placed them on site so that it would be easy. That was the other thing. Make it easy for people to get the service. They don't have to come after work. They're trying to deal with the family and with kids and taking them to, you know, whatever, games and doing all the things that parents have to do and families have to do. There you are. You go to work. You can meet with your coach. So many people took advantage of it.
The Stand By Me program in itself had a lot of doors, open doors, meaning that if you started with me as a financial coach because your child was in a daycare program, but you decided that one of your goals were to be a homeowner, you would work on those goals, the steps to meeting those goals. And then at some point, I would hand you off to a coach who was working within the Stand By Me Home program. Mm-hmm. And that coach would then take you the rest of the way to meeting your goal. And so it just kind of worked together somehow where you had this way of carrying the client all the way through to the end. And all of those different aspects of the program allowed for the coaches to do that seamlessly. So there wasn't a break in services. And so that, you know, that's necessary when you have a program that states and stands on its mission to help people achieve self-sufficiency.
I think that when you're working with people, if you really want them to give their all and to be the best they could be and to live up to their full potential, you have to let them do it. And you have to support them and love them along the way and work with them to clear every obstacle out of the path and never blame them for anything that goes wrong, because life happens and it doesn't go wrong for them. It goes wrong for all of us. That's what Martin Luther King said. That's what the Kabbalah says. When one hurts, we all hurt.
What's the broader picture of this program for our community and society as a whole? And what is the legacy you hope it achieves?
I do think we're at a reckoning point right now where the most important thing, if you really want to improve society and you're sincere about it, it's about equality across the board, social, economic, you name it. If we're not equal people that are equally respected, then the system's not going to work, except for the few.
We really need to make this available to every family in America. And I say every family in America, because money, no matter how little or how much you have, is a major issue. I mean, we need it to live.
This model in coaching in itself allows for families to have something tangible that they can begin to set goals at and do that will help the next generation and the next generation and hopefully change the trajectory of where those children are going to be in the next 5-10 years and even their families.
Back then, 10 years ago, that may have been a novel idea to some, but I think now it's more understood.
I think the heart of Stand By Me and the thought that has always underpinned everything we do is that we are going to get this done, and we're not going to let things become siloed. We'll work with anyone and everyone for the good of the community. So any partner, any location, any need that there is, Stand By Me doesn't turn people away. It's what's right for the customer, what's right for the person, what's right for the community is where we're going to go, and we don't let anything stand in our way.
To me, it's really about the spirit of love and how that is a healing force. When you build up so many people who have been touched by coaching and by love and have achieved dreams and have joy in their lives and have been in charge of their own personal transformations, this is what makes me so excited about Stand By Me.
Mary, to wrap up, is there a quote that you can think of that communicates what Stand By Me means to you?
For there is always light. If only we're brave enough to see it. If only we're brave enough to be it. And that's what Stand By Me is all about.
Today's podcast has been brought to you by the United Way of Delaware, the State of Delaware, and by our generous partners and donors. For more information, visit www.standbyme.org or facebook.com/standbymedelaware. If you are in need of emergency food assistance, Delaware 211 is the state's referral hotline. Dial 211 or 1-800-560-3372 or text 898-211 or visit www.delaware211.org.